Welcome to Our Week once again. We should be a bit different today. I've expanded her horizons. She's expanded my horizons. What we're going to do is to talk about abuse, of course, but you wouldn't believe the amount of infiltration into areas that, oh, that's not abuse. Yes, it is. So we're going to stray a little bit. So bear with us. Well, I say we've got a number of items. Marilyn, we had a winner out of the blue for the New York Open Tennis Championship. This young slip of a lass, not even given any grading at all, Emma Raducanu, but is suffering something rotten. And we're going to term it abuse because she's run across so much on the internet, TikTok, etc., the hate that's been expressed towards her. Now, she was very young, and a lot of people said, hang on, let's get a bit of a grip on this one. Let's let her prove herself. Now, physically and achievement-wise, she has done, but lots of injuries along the path. And that, if you're a sportsman, sportswoman, really affects you, and it's affected her. And the two things combined have, well, it's not an exaggeration, nearly destroyed her. But she's got to get a grip, or has she, or has the lovely social media giants got to get a grip?
Well, the only way she can get a grip, really, is by not going on the social media, isn't it? The trouble is, it's her platform for her age group, and she was jettisoned by her own talent so quickly. And she should have really learnt. She was stalked, wasn't she, after she won? And that should have been the writing on the wall. When we have offered training into football clubs, etc., and like Emma, we always warn the players and the young players when they're in the football academies and the tennis academies. I did a lot of training for the Lawn Tennis Association about 2 or 3 years ago, well, 3 years ago now. And we were warning them about going on social media because there are people that will be after the money. They will be sort of setting themselves up as potential interests, love interests, you name it. But she's young, and also with her injuries, that is gruesome. It's like Andy Murray, you know, all his life since he was 14, 15, he's been pushing and pressurizing his body. And some people have, I think, in sport, the perfect body. I think Roger Federer was one. His body was sort of somehow the right size. And Andy Murray was gangly. Emma Raducanu, I don't know. I mean, very young for your tendons, your muscles to be overstretched and overworked in that way. And I think that is abuse. But I think, well, I know sport has every single abuse in it. It has bullying. It has the physical pressure. It has verbal abuse in it. It goes on and on, sexual abuse in it. As I say, the physical abuse, the demands to emotional abuse, really, emotional abuse, the demand on you to be a success, which, of course, they say is in your own interest, but, of course, it's also in the manager's interests and everybody else.
Managers and agents have a lot to be responsible for. Definitely. In all this. As I said, she was not seeded. She was a nobody.
Yes.
And suddenly the shock of that.
Exactly. And it's the same when people are young singers, when they're young stars, they've suddenly got this great voice. I mean, the sort of X factor in young people suddenly being pushed into an environment that is not their natural fit, and they haven't come through, any of those musical academies where they're brought up to try and understand what it would be like. If you went to a ballet academy, you know, you would be sort of positioned and mentored for what that might look like if you're famous. But she just, boom, there she was. And it's tragic. But yeah, I mean, what do you do to get a grip? I mean, I do get fed up with this mental health business. I mean, I've been all morning training mental health people. We all have mental health, some good, some bad. It is about your well-being, and it's about you having to take, I mean, she's not a little girl. It's about you taking accountability and responsibility for that. And if it means you come off social media and you leave it to your agent to do it, then you're not going to get all these horrible messages, are you? You're not going to find
well,
yourself.
No, two-edged sword there, Marilyn. She has actually come off Instagram, I've been
Oh, she
informed,
has? Well, that's good.
And WhatsApp.
Good.
I get really fed up about the hypocrisy of these people. I mean, Zuckerberg won't let his kids get involved in any of this stuff. And there he is, pumping it out.
I know.
And it's shameful.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, it's all about the Wonga. I mean, how much money does he earn, you see? He's not, they're all the same. He's not bothered about the impact of what he's created. And it's terrible. It's complete hypocrisy. It's absolutely awful. But I do feel sorry for young. I feel always sorry for young stars. I find it in the football world, I don't think they are given enough mentoring by the right people early on. Even if they are a star overnight, they still need to have the right people around them to stop them getting into gambling and all sorts of things.
Well,
I mean, the number of footballers that gamble.
Yeah, I know. Is it too much to say, look, the money is a real problem. Free cars, free promotions, free advertising, money coming out of every orifice you can think of. And it's not surprising their heads are turned.
Well, they're young and they're easily influenced, aren't they? It's the way of the world when you're young.
And then, just like everybody else, they're not developed. I mean, the people are now talking about you're not even grown up till you start at age 25.
Oh, they now say 30 or plus now.
Oh, my goodness me. Mm. I know there's some uncharitable people saying that we haven't grown up yet, but we'll bypass that. Listen, we must move on to Plymouth. I mean, we've done a couple of programmes on the Plymouth shootings. Now, the police, believe it or not, surprise, surprise, are getting it in the neck once more because they, frankly, are not looking after the licensing of guns. Now, we've not got the problem of America, but if you look at the actual stats, there's been lots of occasions when they should have been attentive, and as you keep saying, to the past, how the child had grown up, was it a stable family?
Mm.
And is there too much for our police officers to do? Are there not enough police officers? Or should it be shuttled out an organisation to control the guns?
Well, I think they probably should have. I think they should offload it and outsource it to a proper licensee. I do think that. I mean, at the end of the day, the police are there to arrest when there's a crime. And I don't really think they do have enough to do. Yes, they are short-staffed. We should never have got rid of 20,000 of them years ago because those were experienced officers. And now look what we're suffering with the Met Police now and other forces. So there's a lot of proper, real work that needs to be done with the police. And it is. I don't think it's a policing issue. I think it's somebody else should have the job of issuing these licenses. And when those licenses, even when they get a license at the start, I think everybody should have a mental health check. And when you're having it renewed, then you should have another mental health check. And that's not a police job. And I think they've been very, very lax. They've just, oh, here you are, you're Joe Bloggs. Oh, here you are, here's your renewed license. Well, that case of that lady that was murdered at the school in Epsom, I mean, he'd only been had his license renewed the day before, two or three days before, and it clearly he had issues. You don't suddenly decide to shoot somebody 3 days later, and that may well have come out in a mental health report, but I think it should be outsourced. Take it off the shoulders of the police. And then when that license is broken or a crime is committed, then yeah, then that's the job of the police. But I don't think you should have gun licenses.
Yeah, difficult territory here because as we both agree, there's too many laws. And if you get too many laws, there was a Greek philosopher, and that's a few thousand years ago, that had a famous saying that if you have too many laws, even then, you have too much corruption.
Yes.
And it's easily seen how it can. You know, just need a clever lawyer, barrister, or other forms of justice, and you can get black into white very easily.
I just wonder how many of the police actually understand the laws. I mean, I wonder how many of them actually bother reading them. I know someone who now is a paralegal and has his own domestic abuse firm that he has, and he was in the Met. And he said, I can remember when I was training, we literally, on the tube into work, we would have to recite the laws to ourselves and learn the laws, exactly what would fitted what purpose. And he said to me about 4 years ago, we have enough laws. Yeah. We have enough laws. It's just people don't know how to interpret them, and they don't even know they exist. But when he was training with the Met, something like 25 years ago, 30 years ago, that you had to learn them by rote.
Yeah, it still exists. We have two members of the family that have in the pretty high echelons of the police, and it's hard work. But I'm not surprised, it's hard work. How do they do everything? They can't. There is need for advice. All right, that it is there in the police, so they don't waste people's time. If it's a court case that's going to be thrown out, as you well know, they think, no, you've got to draw a line under this. But having said that, there perhaps should be a fully qualified lawyer in every cop shop, and there isn't.
Well, I think that would make sense. I do think it would make sense, because that gives the police, because if they are too busy to learn all this stuff, that gives the police an access to talk to the lawyer that's in-house. And anyway, when somebody is arrested, they ask you, do you want a lawyer? And that lawyer would be there already in-house, wouldn't they?
Yes, indeed. We're going to go over to Sweden. And a very special kind of abuse called the pandemic. My goodness me, did Sweden get it right? Because they had a very sensible Minister of Education who said, we're not locking down the kids. It's going to do them more harm. We're going to follow the science. Where have you heard that before? We followed the science, didn't we? And we put into our computers in the UK and most of the countries, let one say, at this stage, and adopted the worst case scenario, which means millions would die and keep the kids out of school. Well, there are two things here that's very important. She said, no, the primary school and secondary schools, early secondary schools, get back in. Don't even think about. And from day one, they never stopped. The oldest could understand a little better in the secondary stage and could work on their own a bit better. So they thought, yeah, the cases do go up the higher the age you get. So let's at least start by keeping them from schooling. But boy, has it worked out for Sweden. They can look back and truthfully say, we followed the science. Now, there's another caveat here. Number two, the unions in various countries are very strong, especially in the United Kingdom, the teachers' unions. And the teachers' unions played heavily on the fact that they did not want the teachers in schools, influenced various ministers who, frankly, in the UK said the same thing as their Swedish counterparts. And actually, this last week, they've all got together to compare notes on an international basis. And they've congratulated Sweden. You were right, after all. Now, interested parties, especially of the union part at the moment, with all the strikes, in France, they're worse than Britain. And Britain, it's a bit naughty, Marilyn. And let's follow the true science and not influenced by the trade union science.
Well, they've always been a problem, haven't they? I mean, I can agree. I think it's good to belong to a union. I used to belong to the music teachers union. But you don't have to follow what the union says, do you? I mean, really, I mean, I know with the schools and the pandemic, yes, I never agree. I thought it was dreadful keeping the children home. I thought it was awful. And by doing so, you mightily raise the risk on those children's heads of being abused within the home. And the number of people that didn't even know that they had a risk to their relationship that then found they couldn't be living, cohabiting 24 hours a day under the same roof, they started getting domestic abuse issues. And it's just not a natural way to live. And I just always personally believed in the herd mentality. Just catch it and see. You know, I just don't think. And then you look now in this country where how many PPE bits pieces have been thrown away and burnt, and how many of the vials of the actual COVID vaccine have now gone out of date? The billions that were lost. I don't think you looked at, I've seen those Swedish figures as well, and I think, well done you for taking a punt and going with what you actually in your heart believed, which was the science. But the unions, look, you've only got to see what's happening now with the strikes, haven't you? The unions really sort of, I mean, even with watching the RMT, how many 70-odd percent wanted to go back, but there's that one guy still belly aching about it. And I would not come out on strike as a teacher.
If you look at the figures, this is an important point you're raising, because if you do look at the figures, with many of the unions, whether it be RMT or doctors or nurses, often, you know, it's pretty 50-50. 50% want to stay in, the other 50 want to go on strike. But it's pretty tough taking the no, we won't go on strike line, because you feel like a scab.
That's
you're
right.
Crossing the lines. And there's a lot of moral tension there, a lot of abuse there, used by the trade unions for their own benefit. If it was a silent, private ballot, that would be much better. But you've got to be careful.
But I wonder how much they rig the votes anyway, how much they actually say. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust them at all. And they're far too powerful. And you can almost sense it's all coming back on board again somehow, something that Margaret Thatcher sort of got rid of and quashed, which I think was easier to do in her time than it is now because of the lefty wokies.
Indeed. It's very subtle what they're doing. It's very Trojan horsey how they get an influence within our schools, and that's where they are captured at a young age. And once you've got them, as the old Catholic statement, give me a child before the age of seven, I've got him for life. They know exactly what they're doing. Talking about murky worlds, we've got to move on to sharenting. Oh, this is equally clever. Just putting it in a nutshell, and Marilyn will go and drill down on this one. As an example, there was a lady that suddenly found she'd gone viral. 100,000 hits immediately. How did she do that? Well, she put her beloved little child, and that's a great danger these days, on TikTok. She was obviously on TikTok because some clever editor who has a very sophisticated program, but they're not these days. A lot of people can do this. We can do that. We don't. And they sort of morphed her into her mother over a period of years, obviously, to see this. So her mother appeared, the baby literally appeared, and 100,000 people immediately, let me say, perhaps the majority, dare one say, of paedophiles thought this was wonderful.
They just don't get it, the parents. I started the last year, I've been talking about sharenting, right? And I mentioned it to parents regularly that it is a new, like, not new, but it's got a name now, yeah? Whereas before it was like, oh, parents putting their photos online. It is a problem because they don't realise the dossier that they're forming, and they don't stop and think about the danger. And those children have no choice. And it sort of begins even when you've got the excited young mum-to-be that's got her scan taken at the hospital of this dear little baby inside, gestation 4 months old, and they put their scan photo out on Instagram and all of that, and you are already setting a digital footprint of that unborn child who has got no right to say what's what. Now, I don't know whether it's come in, but certainly about 2 years ago, the French were considering whether children, and I think it's a good idea, children whose parents, without the child's consent, put their photos out on social media, that they can sue the parents. And I just think that's right. Why should when I'm in a pub or anywhere around and you get these people that are doing promotions and all of that, if I see someone with a camera, I just say, don't take my photo. I don't want my photo out there. Thank you very much. There's enough of me everywhere. I don't want any more. And I would be furious if my face ended up on someone's magazine that I didn't even know. And so why shouldn't a child? You've got the same human rights about you have privacy laws. And I don't think parents stop and think. I mean, I knew, oh, this is ages ago now, a grandparent who put, can you believe, a photograph of her grandchildren naked on the toilet, took photographs of that and put it out on social media. And furthermore, the parents do not seem to realise that if you put it out on Facebook, Facebook is not safe. Facebook has no security. And it's a paedophile's dream because they can get in there and they, I would say, a large proportion of the child images on the dark web that the paedophiles are looking at, that goes into all the different forums that they you know, connect with, a lot of them have come off Facebook. I mean, why would you risk it? Why would you risk it? And even if you put it on WhatsApp, which is encrypted, you could send it to your brother in Canada, and your brother in Canada, unbeknown to you, could say, oh, look, send it to his best mate. You've got no way. It may be encrypted, but you don't know who's sending it on to who.
No.
You don't know people. You don't know people. You don't know anyone, really. You don't know what they're doing in the darkest areas of their mind.
Well, for the millionth time, I will ask the question, why don't the internet companies do anything about it? They're very keen on closing you down if you dare mention anything that they... Oh, it's woke.
Absolutely.
It is ridiculous what they can close you down at the drop of a hat. And quickly, and
exactly.
When something serious like this, because they're making the money, they let it go on and on. It's a disgrace. Come on, governments, get a grip.
Well, the people are that it's third party to giving a platform to paedophiles. They're allowing it. They're almost encouraging it, and that should not be allowed. I don't understand where their accountability is. It's dreadful. The lie I always say to the kids in school, your lives are cheap and there is financial collateral on top of your head because your images are worth a lot of money.
Let's have a go at the BBC. There we are. They're always up there. Mr. Lineker or no Mr. Lineker. Really, things are going to come to a head here. People are fed up. There was a recent poll. It was only conducted in the Telegraph, so you're going to get right of centre people replying, of course. Last year, two-thirds of the people said they wanted to be without the BBC because it was completely and utterly hijacked, was so biased it wasn't worth watching anymore. And they don't want to pay the licence fee. Get out there and earn your corn from advertising like everybody else does. Why should you be sheltered? Well, it's got even worse for the BBC because this year they've done another poll. 90% of the people now want BBC to be defunded. They're getting away with murder. And what do we mean by this? Well, I'll give you an example. This very morning, before I get to the actual newspapers, I'm stupid enough to turn on Radio 4 and get the last 10 minutes, quarter an hour of Farming Today. Don't waste your time. That's the wokest programme on this earth. And people, and this is perfectly true, are now going to the Archers to find advice and counsel about how to farm. Because all you get there's 8 people run that programme, 7 are ladies. Sorry, ladies, you're 20 to 1 against a farmer. In numbers. So why they have 7 out of 8 being ladies, I don't know. But they perpetually talk about green, about sustainability and unreality. And you put up with this rubbish. As I say, go to the Archers, you get more tips there. And then you go into the Real Today programme. 80% of the items today on the Real Day, well, it's a political programme. 80% of it was about environment, sustainability, equal rights. This is the BBC brainwashing, prejudicing you, capturing you. Sorry, BBC, it ain't going to work. People are realising, Joe on the street there, assessed you?
It's so sanitized. I was on BBC Breakfast once, and oh my goodness, coming through my earpiece all the time was what I could say, what I couldn't say. They're terrified that you might actually say something that's just a little bit extreme, even if in being extreme, it's actually true. So I don't listen to BBC because I find now with what's going on in the world, et cetera, I find BBC Breakfast so twee, it's laughable. They don't want to really get to the cut and thrust of stuff. So I tend to watch Sky because I find some of the others are a little bit, they're too salacious, they're too shouty, you know. And funnily enough, I quite like Kay Burley. I think she is very short. You get the wrong side of her and she'll give you a grilling. But I would rather watch her on Sky News than anything on BBC. And also, you pay all this money for your licence fee and their programmes suck. The choice of programmes, my goodness me, the films that have come out since I was 21 years old are still being shown on BBC. And you think, hang on a minute, don't get this out your archives and charge us what we're being charged for our licence fee. You know, In of the Thick Happiness, gracious. I remember watching that when I was about 10 years old. Some of these, really, there's no, you go through the TV guide and you think, my goodness, there's nothing there worth watching. And it's there's nothing really that's worth paying your license fee for. So somebody asked my vote, I would say, get rid of it, get rid of the licensing.
Well,
they're joined to the government hip.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, we are back to the same problem. The last thing we need at the moment is a green movement. Oh, you can't say that. I've said it. We're in the doo-doo worldwide. Pandemics, etc. Putin. Everything begins with P, doesn't it? There is a reason, but we won't go into that today. And having said that, unrealistic targets. We've got to all go electrical. Nonsense. If you look at the science behind it, you can actually, on the present level, obviously it's been conflated and inflated because of Putin, you can prove a good lean burning diesel engine is fresher on the so-called carbon footprint, whatever that means. It can mean whatever the scientists want it to mean. Than the electric vehicle, which is not working. It cannot work. Try living in Canada or Australia and see how long your battery lasts. We've got a journey here, 4 hours, that took nearly 4 days in Canada because of the extreme cold. You can see when the technology develops why a hybrid might work. It's quiet, and if you live in a town, you might get 40 miles out of it by plugging it in overnight. But everything else is a nonsense. My only hope, and that my scientist friends tell me, that they will conquer the problems of hydrogen. And I'm going to say you go out with a bang that way. But well,
There's more to the risk than actually meets the eye here, because, in fact, I've got one son who's got a hybrid. And it was very, very funny because when he was rescuing my husband off the motorway in the middle of the dark at Christmas, his battery ran out. So he had to ask somebody else to plug up. It was so funny. Anyway, and then I got another son who's all electric. I think they're dangerous because you can't hear them. You can't hear them coming. You can't. I don't think, at least with a car, you hear the wheels or something moving. You hear the engine. They're so silent. They're scary. But also, the cameraman that came round to film me the other day was talking about this, and he said, because he knows he meets all sorts of people with his filming, and he was saying that if you have an accident in an electric car, the fire brigade are more concerned, and you could be inside needing to be cut out. The fire brigade will do, they have to get that car stabilized first because the batteries can go off, boom, and it's like an exploding bomb. Why would anybody, you have an accident and you're nearly bleeding to death, but the fire brigade, because they've got to look after themselves as well and the rest of the public, have got to ensure that that car can't explode. And sometimes it has to be lifted into, you know, craned into something else, and you're still in the car.
Indeed, if you get water on the wrong battery terminal at the wrong time, it will explode. Of course, the BBC and others like to brainwash us. We're at the worst state in 125,000 years. Our carbon footprint, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, is high. Now, that is not scientifically correct. If you're a proper scientist, you don't look back 100,000 years. You look back millions. We've had 10 times the amount very often in our atmosphere, obviously caused by volcanoes, not the Industrial Revolution. And we have survived and will survive. Mother Earth is extremely clever. And where is this nonsense coming from? Now, this is not conspiratorial. If you look at Davos and co., Mr. Schwab and others that want to make us all globalists, it suits their agenda perfectly. It is a nonsense. The school kids are being brainwashed. Oh, I know you like Sky News, but they're the biggest culpable people with their own special programmes. They've joined hands with the BBC. I'm sorry, we've not got the problem that has been said. Oh, the water level's rising. No, it isn't. It might be on a small part of the world, but not most of the world. It's all conspiratorial from the opposite point of view.
Well, it's certainly rising along the Norfolk coast. Did you see the village of Helmby? I mean, those houses are falling in, but it sort of like goes back to the old thing of never building your house upon the sand, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that particular reason sad. Is I mean, because of erosion.
It's erosion, but I mean, yeah. That, you know, there was a time when I think it was the Fens or somewhere used to be all underwater, and they drained it off, and now there's land there. And I'm sure it was the Fens, but I mean, the Norfolk coast has always been a problem. How the Maldives has never been swallowed up. You know, when you think it's only about a foot above water level, isn't it? I mean, that amazes me. But I do think if you're looking at the environment, I do think the trash that's in the ocean is dreadful, and the amount of dolphins and fish that are getting snared in
that net. Is what these people should be concentrating
that's what
on.
They should
exactly.
be concentrating on.
Just as many years ago, was brought up on Rachel Carson, who stood against. Well, in those days, it was called DDT. Farmers were just putting it everywhere and killing people. Yeah. Now, that's what the Greens want to do, and not stupidity of unproven science. We'll be all right, folks.
But what about the Ice Age? That melted. Didn't the sea levels rise then?
Ice Ages, and you drill down and you see exactly how much carbon is in for every year. Stop worrying, stop panicking. It will not happen. It will ruin the world. The last thing we want is to spend money on unproven science.
They need to clean.
And I stick my head above the parapet.
They need to clean up the oceans, and they need to stop the burning of the rainforests. I keep on saying it, that the burning of the rainforests are the lungs of the world. And it's all part of ecology, and all of nature links together. And once you start interfering with nature, then you're on a hiding to nothing, quite honestly. But the cleaning up of the oceans, it breaks my heart to see these poor animals that are caught up in fishermen's nets, that have got stuff down their gut. And I just think it's tragic. That is an environment problem. But as I say, I mean, I think there's so many things you could do, and you look at the stuff that belches out of the chimneys in China. Goodness me, I mean, you know, that stuff that's belching around. I also think as well, when what on earth is with the environment and everything? What on earth is the war in Ukraine doing with all the bombs and the stuff that are going off? What is that sending around the atmosphere?
Well, I mean, if you want total proof about the nonsense it is, it can be summed up in a very quick sentence, which I'll make. Britain, responsible for 1%, wants to go all electric car by 2030. It ain't possible. Stop wasting your money. Meanwhile, China and Russia, who are causing havoc, they are increasing their coal consumption by 5 every single month. Sorry, says it all. End of story. So we'll move on. Here's real abuse. Vitamin D is fashionable. Everybody needs vitamin D. They're finding out what a brilliant piece of kit this can be in your health regime. Now, the sun gives us vitamin D naturally, and it gives us very rapidly a boost. Can't take too much of it. They recommend 20 minutes, no more, at the top 4 hours of the daily sun. So depending on where you live, whether it's 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Depends whether it's a winter season or summer season. We're fortunate down here in the south of Spain. We get a long vitamin D season. But a lot of people are taking vitamin D tablets. And it used to be one tablet, and it was at best a few hundred international units. Now they're saying you've got to have at least 4,000, 5,000, and even 10,000. And it's funny, vitamins like vitamin C, you have too much dosage, it just goes out the body in the urine. And something similar happens to vitamin D. But there's a catch. And actually, through various means and diets, they're beginning to understand a lot of vitamins. Vitamin D is very volatile and can just disappear if you're taking straightforward supplements, because some bodies don't like supplements. They say, that's not natural, clear off. There is a way around it, they've found, by taking magnesium at the same time. Then the body accepts it. And magnesium is good for other things as well. It's best if you can do it naturally, but if you do it naturally through fruits, greens, seeds, etc., that's better. But often you just don't get the zap. There's not enough there. You'd have to eat 15 cabbages, which is not a good idea. But there are certain tricks of the trade that are very beneficial. One is eating bananas.
That's, but you've got to be to be careful, because you can overdose on potassium.
You can indeed. So have one banana. Then you can eat an avocado. Now, an avocado is a fruit, actually. Mm-hmm. Blooming expensive in Britain. Here, they just fall off the trees. Mm-hmm. And we have a local farmer that gives us all the natural hen eggs, all the avocados, because there's a lot of them on one tree. all the mandarins and tangerines.
Lovely. Oh,
and the taste.
Love that.
If you have a tangerine at Christmas, which is the tradition in the UK, that's nice. Don't taste anything like a tangerine off a tree. It tastes like a grape, a tangerine off a tree. It's that gorgeous and sweet.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. We used to have them in Portugal.
Yes, that's right. Plenty there. And seeds. So if you do things naturally, it's always better. Vitamin D is good for you, everybody. So don't abuse your body.
But it is in foods. It is. And of course, the African people, when they come over here, they get anemia and everything, don't they? Because they don't have enough sun. They have a problem with that, and they get, what's it called, sickle cell disease or something.
Yeah, and Pakistani Indian people are particular sufferers, and they're giving mega boosts of vitamin D because it's dangerous not having the quantity that you should have, and that they control it and bring it down at a level.
But if you have, some people don't know how to cook, do they? I mean, my mother, back to the 70s and 60s, my mother would boil a cabbage to within an inch of its life, you know, and she put bicarb in it to keep it green, and it'd be half an hour of boiling it. You could wrung it out. It was just awful. And people need to learn to maybe eat maybe a bit more al dente, you know? I would say we have cabbage and broccoli every single day. But talking about seeds, we need to be careful with them, because my daughter, when she lived in Singapore, and she's been a massive fan of seeds and poppy seeds and all of that, chia seeds nearly killed her. The chia seeds, you know, C-H-I-A, they got stuck in her intestine.
And they swell up, you're dead right.
And they swell up, and she nearly died. And she had the most dreadful, and I was flown to Singapore to look after little babies because one of her babies was only 6 months old and the other one was two. And I had to fly over there, and she was blue lighted in. She went out. It was one too many chia seeds on top of a poached egg, I think it was. And that night when she went in, they then what they have in Singapore, they always have a consultant has to be on duty in A&E. And she happened to have the renal consultant, right? And he said to her, oh, chia seeds, the devil's food. He said they cannot be digested. We are not birds. We can't crunch them down. And these seeds are extremely dangerous. Chia seeds in particular, poppy seeds. Well, of course, they don't allow them in prisons, poppy seeds, do they? Because of the opium stuff. But the chia seeds, I won't go near them. And he said the amount that, and she had to lose some of her intestine. She's got a plastic tube inside her because it ruined it. And he said, you cannot believe the number. He said, how long have you been eating them for, Nikki? I can't believe the number I've taken out of your system. They're really dangerous.
Yeah, there is a warning on the packets, but I mean, you know, don't take too much of this. Well, that's a fat lot to use, isn't it?
What is moderation, too much? Moderation in all things is what the nuns taught me.
Yeah, well, they would, wouldn't they? Anyway, listen, Britain is third in the world in high tech now. Behind China and the US, of course. Apparently, we let a lot of people in the country. I'm being a tad facetious, but some of them are right good, especially those that get into IT. And it's really lifted us. And of course, this is the argument the open doors people say all the time. Well, for every good thing, there's a bad thing.
Well, I mean, and that's why we should be sort of saying what we need more of. I mean, the Asians, the Indians are so good at IT. They are brilliant. And so, yes, you put out to say we want some more technology people in the country. You do what Australia does. If we need hairdressers, we advertise for them. You know, we don't just take any old Joe Soap in. We take the ones in where you get something out of it and we get something out of it.
Yeah, in other words, it's controlled and it's legal. It's not like these people coming across in their rubber ducks. And as we keep mentioning, that is nothing compared with the people that come in ostensibly to be educated and they never go.
It's also the amount of disease, and I'm not being funny here, but Luton is the third highest in the country for TB. Now, TB hasn't been around in years. As for polio, we've got polio growing as a problem now, and we have the polio program that's gone on for years, but of course some of the people that are coming in are bringing it in with them, and it's a problem.
It's legal and illegal emigration, and there's been an issue on polio, actually, this very week. They've been down in the sewers, lovely job, and they can diagnose lots of things, even how many people have got flu at a particular time, or the pandemic, or whatever. But they've done one on polio. There is a real problem. Wake up, Britain. It's not too late, but it's when 20% now, nearly 20% of the nation is not the indigenous population, there is real problems, not from the fact that they're a different colour. It's from the fact of culture.
And also though, Rodney, I must say that if you are as an adult, you need to have, and you're a parent or a grandparent, you can catch polio from a baby's nappy. And I would put this as a health warning out there. If you are a mother or a grandmother particularly, you should check what your polio vaccines were back then and if it is still viable, because that is how perfectly healthy people can catch polio from a baby's nappy, which is quite frightening, isn't it?
It is. Can I say that England is not the only sufferer from this kind of immigration? France have got a mega problem, so have Germany. And it's the ultra-left liberals that just, I'm afraid, don't engage the brain, but engage the mouth on too many occasions. Oh, I'm going to be in bother again. They don't have the same problem in Poland and Hungary because they've got a different discipline there. And they've got different moral standards there. So maybe they can teach us things. Listen, we're going to go on to another potty subject of abuse even. And this is abuse of nature. We touched on this before. But apparently down the southeast, which is where the apples southwest as well, the cider apples grow. There's a couple of towns that are within 10 kilometres, 8 miles of each other. The wisdom of the powers that be have come across a sort of mini forest with 500 mature apple and pear trees. And they're worth an absolute fortune, and they're mature. It takes donkey's years, but they're producing fruit. But the green lot have come in and want to put a green bus lane, believe it or not, between the two towns. And guess what? They've got to take all the trees down because it's in the way.
Well, how can that be the green lot? Because the green lot, because that's abuse of the environment and that's abuse of nature. So the green lot, why are they supporting that? Because those trees, as you rightly say, why shouldn't they have some sort of preservation order on them? Why can't they appeal?
Yes, indeed. It's the local council with all the power and none of the brains dare want even say. Oh, so have decided this is the green... Well, yes.
How much of this are they getting?
I will quickly use to keep her out of jail, of course, the word allegedly, but she's not wrong. Listen, we're running out of time. We've got to finish up with this one. This is a beauty. And it's about fast food. Is this abuse of the population? It can be. Nothing wrong with fish and chips once or even twice a week. You could even push the McDonald's wagon out. But you'll be pushing it. But let me tell you that we are in the business of various restaurants, as you well know. We were offered 10 years ago from South Korea a robot that would make chips. What? Yes, seriously. It would cost £100,000. So we said, ho, ho, ho. We don't really trust it. It could be throwing the chips everywhere over the customers. Perhaps some customers deserve it. Anyway, yes, we didn't do anything about it. But we're rethinking because of South Korea. They've got a robot now that works 24 hours a day without social security of any form at all, never stops, and it costs 20 grand, which is less than the average wage we are paying in our restaurants, not being able to get anybody to work in the restaurants because they'd sooner be on the dole watching Netflix. But listen, what do we do as employers? We grab hold of the blooming thing, don't we?
Absolutely. But what's
they don't talk back to you and insult you.
Is it only chips, though? Because I think I might like one for my home. I mean, is it just chips or is it other stuff they prepare?
Well, no, there are other tricks of the trade. You can pay about £12,000 to £15,000 and get a very clever oven. We do. And the clever oven means that you can put a leg of lamb joint in it, a pizza, a fried egg, all at the same time, and it cooks them all beautifully in no time at all. Yeah. That pays for itself more than once or twice in the first year. So be careful, people, watching Netflix at home. There won't be any blooming jobs for you. We don't need you any longer.
But it goes back to what we said last week. People are lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to work. And also, because of COVID, my son is very high up in McDonald's, and he said it's really difficult to get people now who never thought about it before. Oh, I don't want to work on Saturdays. I definitely don't want to do Sundays. I don't want to do night work. I don't want to work all through the night. I don't want to do that. And he said it's terribly difficult to get staff. Because it's COVID that's changed it. I mean, there was you used to go to work Monday to Friday, those of us that like to work, and you used to get on the tube, on the train, you never thought anything about it, stuck in traffic on the M1, blah, blah. And now it's like, wow, I'm not working. I'm not going into the office more than once a week. It's completely changed people's mentalities.
And the mainstream media and people that are lazy are saying, oh, that's great that you should be able to work at your own pace in your own home in your own time. It's an anathema, and yes, it's biting us now. There's a movement coming and is well established indeed, saying Monday should be a warm-up period for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because you're going to have Friday off anyway, or at least half the day, and we don't want to shock you on Monday. And people are being serious. Oh, we do better at work. Well, let me tell you many examples that we've had. One this very week, I have been trying to get very important papers scanned and sent over to a lawyer. And because she's working from home, she can't, she's not got enough broadband, and she's not got enough advice, because the advice has to come from persons more senior than she is. And it's delayed things by a week, and we risk losing the property deal. It does not work. It's a nonsense. It causes frustration. Get back to where it all works, where you've got adequate broadband. You've got people to help you out if you can't answer the question. Oh, I shall ring you back. No, you won't. I want the answer now.
I know. I just think for talking about mental well-being again, we are supposed to be social animals. And I don't think it's good to just shut yourself away in your study every single day on your own. You need that banter. You need that interaction when you go and get your coffee machine and the jokes and all of that. You need that. And a drink after work. It's what keeps us stable. It's all part. It's not just the going to work. It's everything else about it. You know, going out for a sandwich for lunch and having a chat to the people. I question whether you work as hard and as effectively as when you are in the office. I'm not sure.
Well, I am. You don't. If you want to become self-employed, because that's pseudo faux self-employment. If you are self-employed and you're starting your business off working from home, you will work 25 hours a day. You're motivated. But if you work for somebody else, you say, oh, well, kids crying now. Yeah. Oh, that program, I want to watch that afternoon program. It don't work. Listen, we've nagged enough. We're going, and we've covered abuse of various forms, haven't we, today?
Definitely.
See you next week.
It's pouring with rain here. It's chucking it down.
Well, so. I mean, the pavements are cracking here. We've got to put up with this now till next December.
Oh, well, good luck with you. Go and get your vitamin D.
Oh, yes.
Don't overdose.